To the married people, do you still race home? Are you excited to see your wife at the end of the day? You know, I'll be honest with you, when my wife goes out of town, I am an emotional wreck. There is a wise guy in every bunch in there.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello again and welcome. Today, Pastor Bill continues his series from the Old Testament book, Song of Solomon. This book has a great deal to teach us about God's gift to men and women of the pleasures of love and sex, but it also presents the divine standards God has set for marriage, illustrating the joyful privileges, sensuous freedom, and serious obligations husbands and wives have toward God and each other. Let's join Pastor now with today's message, The Little Foxes.
Turn with me tonight, if you would, into the Song of Solomon. Now, we started our journey in this wonderful little song last week, and it's called the Song of Songs, meaning it's out of the 1,005 songs that Solomon penned, this one is his greatest hit, if you will. And we're looking at tonight a 3,000-year-old document in front of us. And this document, of course, is talking about love, it's talking about romance, it's talking about sexual passion in marriage. And we look at this, and there are many ways to teach it. Of course, if you take, like I said last time, the Christian interpretation, if we look at it from the church point of view today, in modern times, we would say, well, we're going to teach about Christ's love to the church. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that view, even though the church wasn't born at this time. It was, not birthed, if you will. And then you could teach it from God's love to Israel, and there's certainly nothing wrong with that. However, if you break down the word love that's found so many times and even the word beloved there in Scripture, you find that it's talking about sexual love, sexual passion. It's talking about that type of love and romance in marriage. And this song starts out with a courtship, and where Solomon is courting this Shulamite, this nameless country girl who lives somewhere in Lebanon, and he's courting her. He's in love with her, the king and the country girl. And actually, if you look at the whole 8 chapters, 117 verses, I believe it is, if you look at it, actually, she does most of the talking. Well, she's a woman, but anyway, she does most of the talking. I'm sorry, I couldn't have been the Holy Spirit. That was Bill Quinn. Okay. Anyway, the Song of Solomon is one of the least taught books, I guess besides the book of Revelation. It is the least taught book in the Bible. As a matter of fact, most churches, most pastors I know, they don't want to teach it, and I know why. Because I'm up here and I have to talk about it, and you can say, boy, Bill's really stepping out on a limb tonight, isn't he? And so when we look at all this, we want to look tonight starting, and let's begin, chapter 2, verse 3. And as we begin tonight, remember that the courtship is still continuing, and Solomon has not touched this lady at all. So beginning in verse 3, the Shulamite, the lady says this. She says, like an apple tree among the trees of the woods, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down in his shade with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. So she's talking about how he is her protector, and that she hides underneath his wings. And men, we should be a protector to the ones that we love and a provider. And then she says, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Sustain me with cakes of raisins, refresh me with apples, for I am love sick. And so, in other words, those fruits there describing a sexual passion, saying, I want this man, I'm in love with this man. And the banner over her was love. Boy, that, what a great banner that Christ has over us tonight is love. Amen. He loves us even when we are so unlovely, he still loves us. And his left hand is under my head, his right hand embraces me. And then in verse 7, this key verse where we left off, I believe, last time, she says this, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or by the does of the field, here comes the charge. I charge you, do not stir up or awaken love until it pleases. Now listen, like I closed last time, this Shulamite, this lady, she's not fighting off the advances of Solomon. Solomon is not attacking her. Solomon is not saying, I want you outside of marriage. We're going to sleep together. If you love me, we're going to sleep together. He's not doing that. That's sin, and he knows that. And the fact of the matter is, she is giving a warning to the women there of the court. She's saying, listen, this is an urgency, a charge, and it's not only to Solomon's generation, but to our generation as well. She says, do not stir up, don't awaken sexual passion until time. In other words, until the night of the marriage. In other words, run, Forrest, run, okay? Stay away from those kind of problems. And so she continues and she says, the voice of my beloved, behold, I like this. He comes leaping upon the mountains, skipping on the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Now, men, this doesn't mean you're to act like some kind of wild animal, okay? That's not what it's saying. But here's what I want you to know, and you know it as well as I know it. Doesn't love, when you fall in love, doesn't it put a spring in your step? I mean, come on. Remember when you first fell in love, you just kind of, your shoulders went, but you're just happy. Matter of fact, when you're in love, you don't need to eat. You don't need to sleep. You can talk to her or talk to him all night long on the telephone. You know, you walk around in the days at work. You don't care. The boss fires you. Oh, I love you anyway. It doesn't matter. Why? You're in love. Listen, isn't that the strangest emotion? It's just how it happens. When you look and you just know. I remember the first time I met my wife. She was walking into a church service and I turned around and looked at her and I knew in my heart. Now, you've heard that said before and it didn't work with other people, but I'm telling you, I knew. I knew the moment I saw her. And you know what? I have never once looked back and said, I wish I wasn't with this woman. And what a glorious time it has been. It's been, and absolutely, it's still like a honeymoon in many ways. And you know that. And the fact is because we're in love with one another. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with skipping around once in a while. Skipping and leaping. I kind of like that. And listen, Solomon, what was he doing? He was excited about her. He was racing to see this woman. Singles, let me ask you a question. Are you in a relationship? Is it a courtship or is it dating? Dating is not going to really get you anywhere but trouble usually. But a courtship, meaning you're serious. You like him, he likes you, and this relationship is going someplace. Well, if that is the case, do you feel this way about that person? I'm not talking about casual dating. I'm talking about a courtship, if you're single, where you say, man, this person, I know, I am excited. I can't wait to see this individual every day. And loved ones, listen to me, to the married people, I ask you the same question. Do you still race home? Are you excited to see your wife at the end of the day? You know, I'll be honest with you. When my wife goes out of town, I am an emotional wreck. There is a wise guy in every bunch, isn't there? Now, I don't mean like I'm not worried about the food, you know, oh, my dinner's not ready, where are my clothes? I don't talk. No. I mean, I enjoy her company. I remember, you know, listen, I remember back when, before children came into the picture, we had two couches in our living room, and we would have these big headsets. Remember the big ones? I mean, the ears are just gigantic, weighed about 95 pounds, and you'd have to go to the chiropractor the next day because they were so heavy. Remember that? And so we would put on worship music. We would have a dual headset. She would be over there, I'd be over here. And then we had this little apparatus that would, when the telephone would ring, a light would go off in the house. So we would know if we had a telephone call because we cranked it up to about Mach 1. And we would sit there and listen to John Michael Talbot. We'd be praising the Lord and all of that. And I would have been so lonely had she not been there, just me alone. I tell you, there's something about you racing home to your wife and you racing home to your husband and glad to see each other at the end of the day where you talk to each other and love one another. And that's what that's talking about. And she says in verse 9, she says, my beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Behold, he stands behind our wall, meaning the wall of her home now, stands behind our wall. He's looking through the windows. gazing through the lattice. Now, he's not a peeping Tom, okay? He says, my beloved spoke and said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, in other words, my beautiful one, and come away. Did you notice something here? I was looking at that, and she said, behold, he stands behind our wall. Not a wall, not his wall, but our wall. He wants her to come out. Come out from behind the wall. I want you to come out. I want you to talk with me. I want you to be with me. Listen to me. Can I say something to you? That wall sometimes is the wall that you and I build up. And we build walls up in our hearts. We do it one brick or one stone at a time because someone hurt us and this one hurt us or whatever. And some of you, you know what? You may have had past relationships where, you know, you were abused, you were hurt, you were wounded, you were done wrong, whatever. And every time you were hurt, you put another brick up. And the wall got higher and higher, and then you get married, and the wall is still there. I'll tell you, the best thing you can do is before you're married, tear down all the walls, every wall that's in your heart. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, I want you to come out. And so many times, people that have been wounded in love, wounded by a man, wounded by a woman, They're afraid to trust anyone again. They're afraid to open up their heart. And he's saying, I want you to open up your heart. Thank God we have the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit tonight. Amen? Amen. To help remove those walls in our hearts. He says, for lo, the winter is past, and the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. I love that. Is that a beautiful song, a beautiful section of this scripture? In other words, you know what's happening. It's springtime. Everything is budding. Everything is blossoming. The death of winter is past and everything is brand new. What is he talking about? He's talking about their relationship. Their relationship, time has grown now, and he's looking and say, listen, man, we're on fire, aren't we? And this is a good thing. I'm in love with you. And not only that, their relationship, it's alive, it's budding, it's blossoming. And we need to learn from this. What do we want to learn? Listen to me, whether you are single or if you're married, a healthy relationship produces good fruit. Do you understand? Isn't it amazing today? I see couples in the church and outside the church, believers, unbelievers. I'm going to marry him. And I go, okay, we've counseled. I'm going to just be honest with you. He's treating you like dirt now. And if he's treating you like dirt now and he says Jesus is his Lord, I'm going to tell you something. He's going to treat you worse when you're married to him. Oh, no, he loves me. I said, he doesn't love you. Yes, he loves me. No, he doesn't. He's not treating you the way Jesus would treat you. Well, it'll work out. No, it's not going to work out. And of course, what happens 6 months later, they're in my office, and I'm not being critical of anyone. I'm just saying 6 months later, they're in the office and they're going, she's going, oh, he's gone. I'm just going, what did I tell you? You see, a healthy relationship produces life. It produces fruit. If your relationship, if you're single and you're in a courtship situation and your relationship is producing guilt, if it's producing anger, then I'm going to tell you something. You need to really reevaluate your relationship. Or you need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your courtship and Jesus Christ the Lord of your marriage. Amen? That's so very, very important. He continues, says in verse 14, he says, oh, my dove, in the clefts of the rock. In other words, she's hiding in a sense. In the secret places of the cliff, let me see your face. Or literally, let me see your appearance. I can't see you. Come out. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. What is he saying? Well, you know, there might be 1,000 different interpretations to that. But when I look at that, I say this. For any relationship, in courtship or in marriage, for it to be fruitful, there has to be honest exposure. In other words, you have to be honest with one another. You have to tell each other the absolute truth. You know, every couple that I counsel whenever premarital counseling, and I say to each other, I always ask them a question. I said, now we're not here to talk about the wedding or flowers or how the, no. We want to talk about marriage. We want to talk about one another. And I always ask this question, what do you not like about each other? And invariably, oh, I like everything. I said, no, you don't understand. I said, what do you not like about him? And she will look at him and he'll look at her. You know, and I'm about to throw up. No, I'm just joking. I'm joking. It's sweet. It's wonderful. I mean, I watch them. They get out of the car. You know, back when I just had a window there, remember before we built the front, I had a window outside and all the fresh air would come in. Thank God it was so wonderful. But now I'm in a box, but it's okay. And they would come out, and boy, he would run around and open, I mean, run. He would leap. He would open that door, you know, shut that door. They would come up, and they would sit on my couch. And I'm telling you, a crowbar could not pry them apart. They were holding hands and going, I mean, it was just, I would say, stop it. We're here to talk. You can hold hands and goo-goo eyes later. And I would say, I want you to be honest with me. We're going through counseling. I said, I want you to tell me, you know, what do you not like about each other? And I'll tell you, it was, well, we just like everything. And I look at, always look at the woman. I said, you like everything about him? I said, I don't believe you. And I look her right in the eyes and I say this, let me tell you what you're telling me. You're telling me that you're going to change him after the wedding. That's what you're telling me. You're telling me that I'll put up with this, I love him, I'm going to put up with this just so long, but when I get that ring on my finger, oh, honey, yeah, you're going to change. Now, am I right or wrong? Yes, you've been there. Listen, I understand. Listen, in a wedding, you remember in a wedding, you have an aisle and an altar and a hymn. Remember that? Isn't that right? In a wedding, you have the aisle, you have the altar and a hymn. What does that say? It's saying this, I'll alter him. Don't you understand? That's in it. Yeah, okay, now. So what, that was the courtesy of my wife. Thank you, honey. She does all of my good material for me. But that's what happens. And we think about, listen, it says here, let come out. I want to see your face. I want to hear your voice. Sit down. Let's talk about it. In other words, if you are not honest, you're going to get in trouble. Now listen, let's make an application to this. Be honest about each other. How do you do that? If you're in love with one another, whether you're in a courtship or if you are in marriage, trust me, if you need to be each other's best friend. You really do. You need to be able to tell your wife anything and everything without fear of rejection, and she needs to come to you and tell you everything that she is on her heart without fear of rejection or judgment. You see, when we're honest about each other, she can come to you and say, honey, listen to me. The reason I'm acting this way toward you is because, well, I don't trust men. You don't trust men, but I'm your husband. I know you're my husband, but I don't trust men. And then she'll say, sometimes, unfortunately, she'll say, I was sexually abused. I was hurt. I was harmed. And I have absolutely no trust for manly authority because all that men have ever done to me is hurt me and harmed me and taken advantage of me and lied to me. And I'm in love with you, but I am so afraid of trusting you. You see, if she can't talk to you like that, without fear of rejection, without fear of judgment, without fear of you putting her down, and vice versa, ladies, where he can come to you and he can say, listen, I have a problem too. I didn't have a father figure. I don't know what marriage is supposed to be like, and I'm afraid of being the breadwinner. I'm out here. I'm afraid. I feel like I'm a failure. I have fears too, honey. He needs to be able to express those things from his heart without any fear of rejection. Now listen to me. I say this with such tenderness and kindness right now. If you are in a relationship and you can't express your true heart to that person, what makes you think that after you're married, you'll be able to do so? See, that's why I tell couples when they come into my office and they sit down and before they're getting married, I say, okay, listen, we're going to be honest with one another right now. move apart. You get on one end of the couch, you get on the other end of the couch. Stop all this nonsense for just a moment. You're with me. And let's get serious. You're getting ready to be with this man, this woman, forever and ever and ever. Death do us part. Now let's get over all of these things. If all this excess baggage, let's get it well before the marriage. Amen? And that's what we need to do. And that's what I tell them. But if you are with a person and you say, well, they just won't understand, or they won't forgive me, or whatever, then listen to me. I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't marry that person. See, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:28, it says, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Amen? And it's so important to have your husband where you can sit there and just one-on-one look into each other's eyes, and you can say, listen, I have to be in control. Honey, I don't know why I have to be in control. I feel like if I'm not in control of the house, if I'm not in control of you, if I'm not in control of the money, if I'm not in control of everything, I'm out of control. I don't know why I feel this way, I'm afraid. You know, there are things in marriages that are like that. But you have to be honest with one another. Why? So you can help one another. And once you identify the fear that's in the marriage, you know what happens? It usually goes away. It's the things that we hide from one another in marriage or in courtship that usually turn into the wall later on or the problem later on. And God doesn't want that in your marriage. Now, what do we do about that? Well, watch. Verse 15 is perfect. It says, catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Now, listen to me. He is not talking about a vineyard. He's using this as an illustration for us. And this is about protecting fruitful relationships in courtship and fruitful relationships in our marriages. And I'll tell you something, you have to protect your marriage. You have to protect your relationship, and you have to protect it until Jesus comes for the church. You understand? That's exactly what we need to do. And the point here is that these little foxes would come in Israel there. They would come into the vineyard, and they would, as soon as it started bearing fruit, when it was young and tender, just when the blossom started coming, these little foxes would run in at night, and they would dig up the roots, and they would eat them, gnaw on them. And so what Solomon is teaching us here, what the Lord wants us to know is this, is that we have to remove the little things or the little foxes that gnaw on your relationship. You have to take those little things that have come into your marriage and you have to, or your relationship, marriage, whichever, and remove them. And I want you to notice here, it says little foxes. It means that it's not the big things that destroy courtship. It's not the big things that destroy our marriage. It's the little things, plural, that come into our life, come into our marriage, and then the little things keep adding up and up, and it finally becomes a big thing. If you're in courtship, I'll tell you the number one thing you need to protect, and that is this, that you do not sin sexually. If you are in a courtship situation, keep your hands to yourself. Amen? Well, there's a little bit of it in there. Look what it says here again. Catch. That means to take hold. It means to seize, lay hold of. Catch us. It's us, not me. In other words, husband and wife, man, woman, both of you have to work together to remove, set those fox traps and remove the things that are destroying your relationship. And I'll tell you, there are many little foxes, but let me give you the number one fox right now in the church and in the world that is destroying marriage after marriage, and that is the little fox of communication. Meaning, husbands, you know, what is it about men? You know, we act like we're listening, and we get that blank stare on our face, and we're looking at our wife, and they're going, "You're not listening to me." I'm guilty of that, I know. And she'll say, "You're the pastor, wake up. You teach this stuff, don't you?" You know, I said, "Okay, honey, you're brutal, man." The little foxes that come in, you have to talk one to another. You have to communicate with one another.
Well, unfortunately, we're short on time, but Pastor Bill will conclude this message on our next broadcast, and we look forward to seeing you once again. Thank you, as always, for listening to Love Never Fails. Have a wonderful day, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.